wanna be down with the Gary.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ, here for you at 713-780-3776. And you can, of course, tweet the show. Those of you who have been tweeting for a while, you can also watch us and listen on Twitch. ESPN, I don't know what it is. Just find it. ESPN 975 on Twitch. I don't know about you, but I'm really excited about this stretch, this nine-game stretch.
I am, too. It's a proving ground.
Well, that's interesting because Brian T. Smith wrote an article this morning. He said, don't get too high, don't get too low. You know what? This is not an indication. I disagree.
I mean, I agree with don't get too high, don't get too low, but that's just...
I don't.
You can tell. No, you don't. Never. That's what I'm saying. Like, I agree with it, but it doesn't... It's never going to change anything. We as a society and as a fan base are going to get too high and too low.
Yeah.
That's the nature of it. In football, you know, it makes more sense. You got 17 games. In baseball, you got 162. Of course you shouldn't. You and I both don't believe in the people who just say, losses in April and May don't count. These don't even count. It's basically like you're not even playing baseball. We're 20 games behind. It's April. Who cares? It's May. Like, hey, this isn't great.
No, it's a big deal.
Ask the New Jersey Nets. Like, you don't want to be. All these games do matter. I get what people say when they say that, but at the same time, I do like indicators like this to show you where you are, and when the time arises, how do you match up? I don't think it's about being high or low. I think it's about looking at areas on the schedule where you elevate your excitement. Like, this is a playoff caliber series.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
The problem with it is we'll see if Jordan is back and healthy. Yeah, that allegedly he was going to be back tonight. We shall see whether or not he's going to be there. That's kind of a big deal. Jeremy Pena's not here. That's kind of a big deal. Aledmys Diaz is hurt as well. So you've got guys like Dubon. You got guys like Manachevich. You got guys that are not going to be part of it. Maybe, hey, listen, there's a chance Urquidy's not going to be part of this thing. And he's starting game one tonight against Trevor Williams. There's a good chance that if he keeps pitching the way that he has been, that he's not going to be in the rotation come playoff time. Listen, these are better teams. You want to measure yourself against better teams. I think the White Sox are a pretty good team. That lineup, when you're looking at Robert and Breu and these guys that were coming up guy after guy, and you're like, holy crap, these guys got a nice lineup. The White Sox will be part of at least the conversation. When we get to September, they are going to be a decent team. They are going to be in the hunt. But, you know, you really haven't played. You know, you played Toronto earlier this year, and you lost 2 out of 3 to them at home. Your division is so bad, and you played so many games against your division. You did sweep Minnesota. That's a playoff team. And took care of that business, which was nice. You lost 2 out of 3 to Boston, which was a team that wasn't that good at the time. Wasn't really that good. Otherwise, you really haven't played top-notch competition.
It's kind of crazy that you've avoided top-notch competition for the most part.
Right.
For much of the year, other than, you know, when you played the Blue Jays.
Blue Jays and Red Sox, I mean, other than that, it's really... And Minnesota. Minnesota's a good team, and you took care of that business, which was nice. This is different, though. These New York teams are much better. You are, your offense isn't what it's going to be when come playoff time. Hopefully, guys will all be healthy and you'll be set come playoff time with your, and we'll see what they do at the trade deadline. That's another thing, is what exactly are they going to do at the trade deadline? We talked about it yesterday. I would be happy with a 4-5 9-game stretch here.
Happy? Well, I wouldn't be happy.
I would be content. Here's the deal. You're facing Urquidy and Williams tonight. It would be nice to get off to a good start. Tomorrow, Garcia and Carrasco. Carrasco is really good. You got to give big ups. This is a guy that beat leukemia and is back in the big leagues and is really, really good. He's one of the reasons the way that he's pitching is one of the reasons that the Mets are
pitching.
Well, they got
a
lot of reasons, but he's one of the reasons. And we'll see how Urquidy and Garcia can handle this Mets lineup, which is formidable. And then, you know, man, Valdez against Talen in game one at New York, Verlander and Severino, which that won't be the matchup. It'll probably be Verlander and Cole when you get to the playoffs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
when you get to the playoffs.
Well, I mean, you really never know in the playoffs.
If it works out that way, because if you're meeting in the ALCS, then, you know, chances are you might have a Verlander-Severino matchup. You have no idea. Javier versus Cole, which will be totally, totally sweet. That is a 12 o'clock game on Saturday. That is going to be sweet. And then Urquidy and Cortez, which is a mismatch at this. Nestor is being touted right now as Cy Young.
So here's what you're looking at with just the Yankees four starters you're talking about. Talen, 8-1 with a 2.70, a 1.05 whip. Really good.
Really?
Anything under 1-1, you're in good shape. And even 1-1's not bad. You want to be below 1-2, and the elite pitchers are below 1. Severino, 4-1 with a 3.27, 1.06 whip. Garrett Cole, 6-1 with a 3.14, 1.02 whip.
1.02 whip. And he's left two games with just two outs.
He has had a couple games where he was battered.
Yeah.
And he still has a 1.02. Nestor, but that's hits and walks per 9 innings.
Right.
Nestor Cortez, 6-2 with a 1.94 ERA and a 0.93 whip. Those are the four pitchers you're seeing. I mean, not the highest whip that you're going to find. Whip, once again, is walks and hits per 9 innings. Walks and hits per inning. Over nine, through 9 innings, is 1.06. That's the lowest. That's the worst you see from the Yankees over that 4-game stretch. That's really
and with
really
an offense
good.
That's not very good. Listen, I mean,
I thought you meant the Yankees.
No, their offense is awesome. So this is fun, and then so. You get the day off Monday in New York. We talked about that already. What are you going to do in New York? The guys can all go and they can have a fun day. Maybe the wives go on this trip, so they go shopping down Fifth Avenue, you know, on the day off that they got in New York. And listen, in June in New York, what a great place to have a day off for a baseball team, and then not have to travel anywhere because you got the Mets in the next day, and you're going to the Mets then. But then you come back after two games against the Mets, and it's Verlander against Cole on Thursday, June 30th, here, a 5-10 game at Minute Maid Park. A single game, just that one game, because you missed the second series of the season.
Right.
And they're making it up. They're making up that one game, June 30th, and then right after the All-Star break, they play a doubleheader against the Yankees, and that's those three games that
y'all shouldn't have been. Y'all should have come to an agreement sooner.
That's exactly right. I mean, everybody's got to do something like this. So that's nice that, you know, and then you play Philadelphia at the end of the year to make up for that. Philly
John,
series.
Here are the Astros pitchers in that same frame, under the same framework I laid out. Framber Valdez, 7-3 with a 2.78. His whip is 1.15.
Nice.
And we know Framber, you know, it's from time to time, he's going to have trouble with walks. You have Justin Verlander.
1.15 is nice though.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
8.3, a 2.30 ERA, 0.89 whip. That's Justin Verlander.
How's that any
That's
good?
Third in the league, the whip. Christian Javier, 3.07 ERA, a 1.17 whip. That's solid.
That's good.
Now, once again, only Verlander is inside of the same numbers as the Yankees four starters we talked about. And then Jose Urquidy, 5-3 with a 4.99. With a 1.52 whip, which is not good.
That's not good. No. Have we heard?
So you're going to be underdogs in all four games. I think probably if you were making a wager to try and win, the favorite would be Yankees go 3-1 in the series.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I would take a 2-2 based on the matchups and the Yankees bats. I would take a 2-2 in that series. I think it's the Mets you have to try to get to.
Yeah, and guess what? The Mets are really good, too. Have we heard? Is Jake Oder, is he alive? Is anybody know?
I'm not even checking.
And you know what? If Jake Oder comes back, is it Urquidy or is it Javier?
Can't be Javier. It can't. We're past that point. You let him pitch for too long. We know what he's capable of doing. Can't be Javier anymore. It's got to be Urquidy. You got to figure something out with Urquidy. Because the guy with the 4.99, the guy with the 1.5 whip, the guy who is not consistent, you're basically taking a worse pitcher and saying, we're going to trust you. I mean, that's not what you're saying. I know that's simplifying. I know Javier can help in the bullpen and all that. Hey, listen. Now, if you tell me Christian Javier will take over Hector Neriz's work, I say, well, let's think about this.
Yeah.
Maybe we do want to keep Urquidy in there and maybe not go to Hector Neriz as much as you start going to Javier more. You know, if I knew Javier was going to be more of a setup man or whatever, now you got to see how he performs in that role. I'm not sure that's what – I think Christian Javier is made to be a starter. I think he's made to let the legs out and really, get some pitches under his belt. I think that's how he's best, setting up hitters in one at-bat for a second at-bat.
See, I don't know that Christian Javier is a – listen, the way that – we got to give big ups to Stanek this year. We really haven't talked about that dude.
No.
He has been excellent.
Yeah, he's been great.
Rafael Montero has been excellent.
Really terrific.
And yet, Gusty, in the critical situations, continues to go to Neriz. I don't know how, unless you've got a 2 or 3 run lead, that you can go to Neriz right now and continue to go to him. If the game is on the line, I want Stanek out there, I want Montero out there, and Presley out there. And even, you know what, throw Seth Martinez out there as well. I mean, what does the kid have to do? He has, in 16 innings, he hasn't given up a run. He hasn't given up a run in 16 innings. What does the kid have to do to get into critical situations? At least let him keep going until he does, right? But this Neriz thing, it's a Dusty thing. You know, I just trust that guy because early on, you know, he was really, really good. Well, that was early on. He has not been good in a while now. Hector Neriz has really, really struggled. His ERA is over 4. And it's time that maybe Dusty looks and, you know, only put that guy in. Thank God the Astros had a lead the other day against the White Sox. Otherwise, they lose that game with Neriz on the mound.
Right.
All right, it's 7:12 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Another player wants out of Houston. And, you know, a big star wants out.
I'll pack his bags for him.
Is this a big name or not a big name?
No, but it does have some people for that fan base a little upset.
Well, there you go. That's you're upsetting people because another player wants out. You know what? You know who never wants out of the city of Houston? That's the Chastangs. The Chastangs have been in the city of Houston selling cars for 80-plus years in the city of Houston. They've had the dealership for a while now, and the dealership has grown. The dealership is unbelievable. The dealership, there's big, big stuff coming for the dealership. Here's the deal, is when you become the number one commercial dealer in the city of Houston for Ford, then you are, you know what? You're just doing things right. That businesses love the way that you do business. And that's an indicator for you. If you're on the retail side, you're not a business, you're saying, well, if businesses want to do business with them, why wouldn't I want to do business with them? Because listen, they're going to give you the car at the best price, no add-ons, no markups. They're going to work the deal. They're going to give you all the rebates that they possibly can. They're not keeping that stuff. And, you know, they're working that deal as hard as they possibly can, and they're going to get as much as they possibly can out of Ford so that you get into that truck or car with the best deal that you can possibly get at the price, at the payments that you need them to be at. So if you're looking for that Ford car, truck, or that pre-owned vehicle, then a lot of the gold certificates and certified as well, all you got to do is go to ChastangFord.com or on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown. Tell them that you heard it right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst,
You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, before we move on, a couple of things about what we've been talking about. Listen, the Astros, and we got Kyle sent us, hey, the Yankees have not exactly been playing murderer's row either. Check out their schedule. It hasn't been. They just got done with a series with the Blue Jays. They have played the Blue Jays a couple of times, but Baltimore, Kansas City, Texas. You know, it's not. You're right. Chicago. They've been beating the snot out of everybody. Tampa. Tampa's a pretty good team, and they took care of that Tampa business. Minnesota. They went and won 2 out of 3 in Minnesota. At Toronto as well. I mean, their schedule's been tougher. The difference is how many home games that the Yankees have played versus the Astros have played. I want to say 7 fewer.
Astros have played an insignificant amount of home games. Now they did have the home stretch where they didn't do well against two inferior teams. But the Astros have not played nearly as many home games.
So the Yankees have played 36 home and 31 away. 36 home and 31 away. The Astros have played 29 home and 37 away.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference there.
No, but Kyle says, you know, you guys are talking about the Astros' strength of schedule. Why don't you stroll down the Yankees' schedule and see how weak it is? They've been playing. They haven't.
Well, I just did that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, but I get that. But at the same time, your human eyes tell you they've still got a much better offense, and they've got 4 starters that are just better than the Astros' 4 starters.
Yeah.
Top 4.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just that we're not.
Well, if you play a weaker schedule and weaker teams, then that plays into it.
Yeah, but you don't
played,
have any.
They played a tougher schedule.
You
than
don't
the Astros
have any
have.
Doubt that the Astros they, have a that don't have the same offense.
Their
as
division is much tougher than the Astros division.
The
much
Astros
tougher.
Division's terrible. So yeah. I'm not here to argue. I mean, listen, we've been watching the Astros, this version of the Astros, who have had an open window for championships. So I'm not. Just because you acknowledge that another team has a better offense, well, you still have to get to the playoffs and beat the Astros in the playoffs.
Good.
So I'm not, you know, just because we acknowledge that another team has a better offense, a better pitching staff, well, you still have to do it in the postseason. And the Yankees don't do it in the postseason against the Astros. So, but I think acknowledging it, yeah, I'm acknowledging it because I want to see the Astros rise to the occasion and split or even take a 3-1 for the Yankees. How about what if you were to take a 3-1? And we're not even really talking about the Mets because you're sandwiched between a 2-game, a 4-game, then the Mets, you're back with a 2-game, and then a 1-game with the Yankees. I mean, honestly, I know you couldn't incorporate them because that's not the way it worked. You can't just, you incorporated those games, then it changes the Yankees and Mets schedule, which changes other teams. You couldn't do it that way. It is kind of, you know, having to play the way you are, but at least it's all together.
Well, this was the
it's
schedule
all together.
Well, yeah, and you know what? It's actually a bonus. You're playing the Mets here, then you go to the Yankees, and you get a day off, and you play the Mets. You don't have to travel. That's actually not a bad deal.
Yeah, that's
deal.
Not. No, that's
you,
not
had,
bad.
You had to go to the Mets, and you know what?
I guess what difference does it make who you're playing as long as the travel's not a
that's
problem?
That's right. Yeah, the travel's not a problem, and then you come back here because the Yankees and the Astros both had this day off. So that's why they're playing that Thursday game here. And guess who gets the benefit? Verlander versus Cole in that game. How's that going to be? Will that be any good? Verlander and Cole right here at Minute Maid Park at a 5-10 game? That's going to be awesome.
Good guy, bad guy?
Yeah, I'm not sure who the bad good guy.
White
bad.
Hat Astros, so, black hat Yankees.
Let me ask you this question. What does the Rockets organization do if they lose a Kenyon Martin Jr.? What happens? What happens to the organization?
They teeter on the brink of destruction.
Well, I don't know so much destruction, but is it?
Oh, I guess actually, I guess they're fine.
Have you improved your organization, or are you taking a major step back?
Not major, but Kenyon Martin is one of their talented young players,
but not talented enough to get on the floor nearly as much as he'd like to.
No, he'd like to get on more, but he flashed. He showed some ability, but now Kenyon Martin Jr. is requesting a trade from the Houston Rockets. He wants to be traded ahead of the draft. And this is my feeling on this. He averaged 8.5 points per game this year. Like I said, he did have some moments. Like, he flashed from time to time.
Oh, he's athletic. There's no question.
Yeah, this is his second year in the league. So he only started a couple games. Shot 35% from three, which is, I'll take it. 35% is okay, 35.7. His efficiency shooting is 59. Efficiency field goal percentage is 59.1. That's fine. I do think that he is a player at age 21 that the Rockets could continue to cultivate and he could continue to get better. I don't think you just want to just necessarily get rid of him. I will say this, though. I think that you either want to be here or you don't want to be here. And if he doesn't want to be here, it maybe means he has an issue with Steven Silas. It's almost to the point where I'm just like, help him pack up and get him out. I mean, either you're part of it or you're not going to be part of it. And I'm not going to sit and baby a Kenyon Martin Jr., a 21-year-old player who, you know, has some ability, has some talent, has some potential. But at this point, you got to have guys who are on board, who want to be part of it. And if you don't want to be part of it already, then what good is that going to do? You already have a guy who is telling you, I don't want to be part of it. For whatever reason, he wants to get in a transfer portal for the NBA. So if you want to get in the NBA transfer portal, let's see what we can find for you. You're 21. You're basically a college player still. Let's put you in the portal and see what we can find for you. See if it's greener pastures.
Kenyon Martin Sr. Spoke about the trade speculation around his son, saying, quote, "Today, as we speak, KJ is a Houston Rocket. We're not worried about speculation or rumors or what somebody had to say on Twitter."
Yeah, Kelly Iko is the one who broke that story on The Athletic.
Connected.
He's very connected.
He probably got it from the Rockets.
He got it from the Rockets that Kenyon wants out. It's surprising to me that he averaged 21 minutes a game.
Yeah, more minutes.
That's a lot higher than I thought.
Yeah, he played. Yeah. No, he got playing time. Like, there is a place for Kenyon Martin Jr. There is a place. Now,
well, he's such a tweener. He's a 6'5 guy.
That's okay.
He's athletic.
You flex between a 2 and a 3. That's fine. I mean, you're really more 3, but
Really more 3, but 6'5 is not big enough to be a 3.
You got Jayshon Tate. Well, it depends on who you're guarding and how you guard, but you got Jayshon Tate.
Well,
that's
something the Rockets really don't do,
Bankero,
which is a problem.
Or Chet Holmgren, probably going to be the third pick. By the way, we'll have some Bankero news. He's apparently, Las Vegas is changing odds quickly on Bankero. Like, it's over the last 2 days, they've drastically reduced the odds on Paolo Bankero to go first.
Yeah.
So he started following Orlando.
You know, originally, before the season started last year, Bankero was first.
Was he really?
Yeah.
Was that the guy?
Yeah, that was the guy.
So now you have I'm a little torn on this one because I do think Kenyon Martin Jr. has talent. I do think he's a guy whose best basketball is clearly ahead of him and should become a pretty good player. And maybe, you know, because he did play with the Rockets, he averaged almost 4 rebounds a game, almost 9, I think right at 9 points a game. Shot pretty well from 3, 35.7.
Yeah.
Not bad. There's some things to like about it. I don't think you just – my initial reaction was pack him up and get him out. But, you know, the more you really think about it, let's just see what the issue is. But if you just fundamentally think that it's going to flare up again in the middle of the year, whatever his issues are, probably best to move him right now because, from what I was told, the Rockets had feelers for Kenyon Martin Jr. and Jayshon Tate before trade deadline last year. Not Christian Wood. Nobody wanted Christian Wood, but they were interested in Kenyon Martin Jr. and Jayshon Tate. So it could be interesting where you end up trading maybe that pick you just got from the Mavericks. Maybe you deal that and Kenyon Martin Jr. And you move up the you know, depending on what people think of Kenyon Martin Jr., maybe you package a guy like Kenyon Martin Jr. and the 7th pick, and maybe you shoot up the board.
Well, they have the 17th pick.
No, but they got the other pick too. So you got the other pick in the Christian Wood deal.
Right.
So you trade the Christian Wood pick, you trade Kenyon Martin Jr., maybe you move up again. You move up, you get that pick, and all of a sudden maybe you flip 17 and what the new pick is, and you move up into the top 12, top 10. So I think there's some maneuverability. If you're Rafael Stone, one of the reasons they did that deal when they did it with Christian Wood is so they had enough time to really shop and see what they could potentially get for the 27th pick or to potentially move up. Here's the problem. Draft's in 2 days.
Yeah.
So draft's going to be Thursday. You don't have a lot of time. Kenyon Martin Jr. hitting you with this. Now, he didn't just hit you with this
probably
yesterday.
Not.
It was reported yesterday. So I'm sure you already knew about it. And, you know, more than likely the Rockets got that out there to Kelly Iko so he could, you know, put it out. I don't know. My guess is just so other teams knew about it so that they could make phone calls to the Rockets. So we'll see. We'll see what happens with that. But if you don't want to be here and you don't and you're not going to be happy with the Rockets, this is too young a team and it's too fragile a team in terms of the building stages and having the right attitudes and culture that I just wouldn't mess with guys that don't want to be here. No one's good enough. This team was the worst team in basketball. No one, there's very few guys in this team that, you know, are untouchable. There's probably two. And they were both drafted last year. Those are probably the only two untouchables. Really, frankly, should be only two untouchables. And I think you can make an argument that maybe Şengün isn't untouchable if you thought he could bring you the type of package back that he potentially could. But, you know, I think they want to stick with Şengün because they love him.
Yeah. By the way, it's the 26th pick. 26th. Right? 26th for the Mavericks, yeah. Jaden Ivey had some stuff to say. Jaden Ivey will not be here. He will not be the third overall pick, and he can't wait. So we'll talk. We'll hear from Jaden Ivey on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Right now, though, you and I are talking about Aqueduct Plumbing. We're talking about Billy Brown. We're talking about, well, we got some Mary stories the other day. By the way, Mary is so awesome. You may talk to Mary.
I didn't talk to her. I called about an issue a couple weeks ago, and it wasn't Mary.
Yeah, I called too, and I didn't get Mary either. Mary's probably just, I don't know if she's just being lazy or what. What's the story with Mary?
But maybe she's golfing.
Hey, I can't blame her for that. Mary, if you're out there golfing, congratulations. You know what? Then you're living your best life. But here's the deal is when you call Aqueduct Plumbing, they're going to respond right away. I had a buddy who had a pipe that broke. We had leakage under our kitchen sink. Man, that'll mess up your floor right away. Turned it off, called them. They were out there the next day. I was fine. They said, it was a Sunday. They said, we'll come out right away. I said, no. I turned off the water. No problem. Just get here tomorrow. They were there first thing in the morning, and they were unbelievable. They're just the best. Listen, if you have any plumbing issues whatsoever, make sure that you call the Aqueduct Plumbing because they're just the best. Go to thebenchplumbing.com. You've used them.
I've used them for small deals, but it's really not a small deal. When you've got a cloggage in your sink and you got a family as big as I have, that there's no such thing as a small deal when you can't get stuff to go down the drain. So they had to come out, do some work there. But I also have a friend of mine who used them for a major shower job that they ended up doing for him. But I got to tell you, the one-day repipe is a major deal. If you've got piping issues, if you've got a leaky pipe beneath your foundation, it can cause major problems for you, and you need to get that looked at and corrected as quickly as possible. Have the hydrostatic test done, and they can tell you whether or not you have a leak with thebenchplumbing.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, before we get to Jaden Ivey, breaking news. Another player is left for live. Have you seen who it is?
Who is it?
Big name.
Let me try to guess. Davis Love the Third.
No, not Davis Love the Third. Davis Love the Third would never.
Marco Mira
is, no, they're both really old, so that's not them.
Hmm.
Phil's old too, but he, yeah.
Boom Boom?
Not Freddie. Okay, you got to get more.
VJ.
No, got to get more into the 2000s.
Tiger?
Tiger's not going. Brooks Koepka is going.
Wow. He's following his bow?
He, this was the guy that said, hey, let's DeChambeau? Stop talking about Liv because we're taken away from the U.S. Open. Okay.
Wow. I'm telling you, everyone is like, do not. There better be none of these guys better try to turn into a flag waver. I don't want to see it. I don't want to see it from you. Don't pretend like you're Mr. And the 4th of July, flying in the sky, nights and all the time. And the bombs broke all over the place, and we threw the tea in the water. And guess what? We eliminated the British monarchy. And I, okay, 4th of July, and I'm going to go play what, for the Saudis.
Wait a minute. You're un-American if you go take that Saudi money, you're un-American?
Yeah.
Do you know how many Americans take Saudi money and Chinese money? What are you talking about?
All of y'all. Then don't put, if you're going to put, what do they call him? What do they call LeBron? LeBron Say Tung or there's some.
Oh, there is a Chinese.
Chairman LeBron or whatever they call him that. But keep that same energy for DeChambeau and Koepka.
And Koepka.
Keep that same energy.
And Dustin.
Listen, and all of them.
Listen.
And Phil, that's all I'm saying is that I don't like that the NBA is owned by China. I don't like that Daryl Morey had to be told that he needed to educate himself by LeBron James on China.
The guy who went to MIT needs educating from the guy who didn't go to college?
That's correct.
Okay.
You need to educate yourself on what's going on in China. Okay. You said that to Daryl Morey. Okay? So I'm no good with that. I'm also no good with because in the long run, it's really going to hurt us, like as a sports community and a country. It's going to hurt you because China has all the power over us. They can put their thumb on us. You already see how they make grown men in the NBA act just cower. They cower it to China, and they did that there because so much money was on the line. Now we have golfers who I'm sure will, you know, position themselves as very patriotic, this, that, and the other. They're going over and playing in Saudi. They're leaving what has been 50-plus years of PGA and USGA golf, basically. It's, well, PGA. And now they're going to play for, you know, I think it's been longer than that, but
yeah, right.
But the format, I guess the format was match play before. It's tournament style.
Yeah, right.
Was in the 50-58, I think. So now they're going to play over there just because of money. That's it. They're not going for, I just don't fundamentally believe in what the PGA does. Or there's nothing that Liv can offer you other than, and I get this.
Well, now
three rounds over four is a big deal.
Right.
Fewer events, more money, more time with family. I get that. But that's the apple on the tree, Adam and Eve. That's the apple. So you can take it if you want to, but just know that you're taking a dirty apple.
Yeah, yeah. There's a worm in it. There's no question about that. There's a worm in that apple. It is.
Just don't stand in judgment. Any of those players. Be careful what you say publicly.
The PGA is probably going to have to change its course on this deal. And they're going to have to accept these players because they're losing big name players. They're losing big name players. And it is hurting. The PGA Tour is going to be hurting when you have the Dustin Johnsons, the Bryson DeChambeaus, the Brooks Koepkas not in your field. All of the Europeans that have left that are no longer going to be in the field. It's huge.
Those are
our names. And
this is always going to be a big problem. As soon as Dustin Johnson left, you are in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Because
more so than Phil.
Hanging out there by himself, and everyone's like, look at Phil. And other guys go, man, behind the scenes, you know the conversations they were having? As soon as Dustin Johnson left, that was the uh-oh moment. Schwartzel, Oosthuizen, that's like, ooh, those are guys who, some serious players from, you know, international players.
They're past their prime.
And once it was DeChambeau, you were done.
Yep.
You were completely
those
done.
Those guys are past their prime. These guys are
only
going to
get worse.
This is
only going to get worse.
It is. It absolutely is. And I think the PGA is going to have to do something. Going to have to change its stance about them not playing. Listen, let them play when they want. Let them play over in Saudi and let them play when they want on the PGA Tour. You know what? So you have fewer events with bigger names, but those names can come back.
But these players are going to kill off some events.
The
departure of these players are going to make some events where people just don't care. Like, let's just be honest a bit about this. The Houston Open, formerly Shell Houston Open, it's always had a tougher time attracting the very biggest players. A lot of times it was due to its proximity to the Masters.
And I
get that. Some people didn't like the course. A lot of people who didn't like it in the Woodlands and didn't like it at Redstone when it was Redstone. The Houston Open is going to have, with Liv too, I mean, it's going to be just an okay tournament.
Well, Dustin Johnson came here and played. Yeah. And he's not playing here.
He ain't going to anymore.
He ain't playing here anymore.
I mean, the names you're going to see, hey, it's still your time to go out there, walk the course. People will have fun. It's kind of like the livestock show and rodeo. There's some people, oh, it's a cook-off. I'm going to it. It doesn't matter. But the reality is the field's probably going to be weak. I mean, we have weak fields a lot.
Yeah. Yep. Well, it's now, especially in the fall. Because that's when the stars take time off. And now with LIV, even guys that did show up aren't showing up anymore. It's going to be tough. What would be the LIV league? What would the LIV league be in comparison to the NFL? Well, there was one once. It's called the AFL.
USFL.
The USFL.
USFL
with Herschel Walker and Steve Young.
They were taking players directly
from
college.
Jim Kelly and, yeah.
They were going to take them from the source. And they were a little bit of a concern. I think the NFL still would have won, but they didn't. Ultimately, what killed them is when the court system awarded them $3, $1 which was tripled because the court system said, we didn't think we were actually having to set the punitive damages. And so they actually created damages that were nothing. They created damages that were nothing for the USFL. And so the USFL kind of ran out of money. See, this is the thing. Every group that tries to go up against the NFL will eventually run out of money. You can't. They're too entrenched with TV deals and all that.
No, yeah.
You can't go against the NFL. You can't. The only way you can go against baseball. Now, baseball would be interesting, but basketball. The only way you can go up against them is with enough money. Guess what? The Saudis have lots of money,
mm-hmm.
So the Saudis can wreck the PGA Tour. Who wouldn't want to go do? And you're not going overseas to play all these events.
Five of the events are in the U.S.
Like originally, I thought, oh, man, they're going to have to go play courses in Saudi Arabia. Oh, wait, you don't?
There's one in Thailand, one in Saudi, one in London, and five here. I mean, I thought that's a Saudi tour?
Yeah. So I play less, make more.
And I'm home.
I'm home on Sundays. Oh. Or is it Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or is it Thursday, Friday,
Saturday?
Friday,
Saturday, Sunday.
Okay. Well, still, I mean, you don't have, and you probably don't have to play the, you don't have to go play the, what's the event you have to play midweek?
Well, it was interesting. Was it Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Because
I think it actually is Thursday, Friday,
I think
Friday,
it
Saturday.
Was because it was London time. I forget what it was. Anyway, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday makes more sense, but well, I don't know. The issue for guys like Marty O'Connell and Igor Mushtov is they are low earners in the PGA and LIV offers guaranteed money. First of all, those are not real guys. Secondly, that is something that is happening, actually. There are young players that are going over there. I keep going to James Pyatt. James Pyatt was our U.S. amateur champion, and he went to the LIV Tour as opposed to trying to get through the Corn Ferry and try to get on the tour and do everything that you have to do that. He was like, nah, I'll just go get that guaranteed money right away. And he is. He's getting it right now, and he's over there on the tour. We'll see what he makes of it. Listen, the field isn't as good. It's not. It doesn't offer nearly what the PGA Tour does. But guys like Brooks Koepka keep going, and it soon will. That's for sure.
The only other league I see with a potential concern, I mean, realistically, baseball could because there's so many Latin American players. But I don't see that being the case. And the infrastructure for basketball for baseball is too good here. But from a stadium standpoint, but basketball could be a concern because. China, if they wanted to, they already have a relationship in the league. If they wanted to go to, you know, try to steal the best players and spend ungodly amounts of money where it didn't matter, I could see some. The problem is you're not going to get the stars. It would take a long time to get the stars. But you could start to take guys who are at, like James Harden. James, we'll give you $55 million to come play. James might go over there on a 3-year deal or a 2-year deal. You might be able to get guys who are, on the teetering between prime and headed downhill, or young players go try to get rookies to come in. You know, you start and you say, "Hey, you high school kids, we want to bring you over here instead of your, you know," which the NBA would immediately rescind the 1-year college thing. But if they said, "Hey, starting at age 17, you can come over here and play, but we want to keep you," but it's a 4-year contract. What would happen though is, I think American basketball players would leave. I think living somewhere else is difficult. We do know that there have been, LaMelo was one of them. We do know guys have played overseas in basketball or tried to, and they typically don't like it. With LIV, that's the thing is, you're not living overseas. No one's living in Saudi Arabia.
No. You got to travel 3 times.
And that's the biggest difference.
Once to London.
Basketball would require you to live in China.
Yeah.
Baseball would require you to live wherever. You know, football, you could live here. Live, you can live here. But football is not going to get challenged and beaten.
Yep.
So golf is the one that they're picking at, and golf's in trouble.
All right, 713-780-37. So we'll get to the Jaden Ivey thing on the other side. Sorry about that. You know, for those that were waiting for that, we'll pay it off on the other side. But right now, Carlos Silva, my good friend, is joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 to talk about the Morley Law Firm. Carlos, what's up, buddy?
Hey, John, how are you?
Good. Let's talk about what's going on with the Morley Law Firm and how they're helping people in this city. For with all the experience that they got, the great lawyers that they got, this is a no-brainer for everybody out there. If you need representation, call the Morley Law Firm.
Just give us a call. You know what we do. We will find an answer to your problem. There's always a solution, and we're the ones to find it. These guys are awesome, a lot of experience, immigration, criminal cases, accidents, personal injury, industrial injury, medical malpractices. Give us a call. We will handle it for you.
Experience, experience, experience. It's what they have. They've got a team, a whole team of lawyers that can help you. And talk about the process. If I call initially, what do I have to go through to get that first evaluation?
Well, it's very simple. Just pick up the phone, make the call. What happens is there's an intake process. We'll find out what the problem is and immediately start finding answers for that problem. You may not have money. It doesn't matter. Just call us and we'll figure it out. 9 times out of 10, it's a contingency-based problem. We'll handle it. No money, no cost to you. But if there's a little bit of a cost somewhere down the road, we'll figure it out. We will work with anyone if we don't have a problem with it. But you got to give us a call, else we can't do anything.
Make the call, Morley Law, 713-839-9955, 713-839-9955, or MorleyLaw.com. Thanks, Carlos.
Thank you, John.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I didn't see a lot of Purdue. I saw a couple, three Purdue games. But I can tell you, man, the guy who just flashes every game is Jaden Ivey.
A lot of people like him.
Man, he's got a chance to be, well, he's so quick. He's very Jalen-like, if you want to know the truth. I could certainly see, and he is a guy that, well, I think he recognizes, he doesn't fit here, right? I mean, the top three are the top three. The Rockets are picking third. Jaden Ivey is not an option because they're already so guard heavy. Jaden Ivey just doesn't fit here. You know what, if he is the next best player, if he's better than Holmgren, if he's better than Smith, if he's better than Paolo, that's happened before. You weren't a fit for a team. You mean like Portland with Michael Jordan? Yeah, we got Clyde Drexler. We don't need Michael Jordan. Okay. Mm-hmm. How'd that work out?
I could actually see somebody trading up for Ivy.
Absolutely. You get there? Mm-hmm. Although the Kings will probably go, nah.
I'm a little concerned here. So Paolo Banchero, we'll get to Jaden Ivey. I just want to say Paolo Banchero has gone from like plus 1,600 to be the first pick to plus 900 to plus 400 in some spots. I saw plus 700 yesterday. But in the article, it was plus 400 to be the first pick. So something is causing people to react quickly. Now, remember, sportsbooks got beaten pretty good with Trayvon Walker being the first pick, where they were slow to react on that. But they didn't open up on a lot of draft props for a while because it was so up in the air. So Banchero, if he goes one and Jabari Smith goes two, and I know the Rockets weren't happy with Christian Wood's, you know, lack of toughness. I don't know that that's... Look, there's a difference between lack of toughness and lack of girth. And I don't know that, you know, what Christian Wood wasn't. The one thing you can say about NBA people believe that Chet Holmgren is going to probably be a league leader in block shots. He's a really talented shot blocker. So there's something to that. I just get a little concerned if the Rockets don't view him as tough, because I don't know that tough is the word I'd use for him. If they don't view him as tough on the interior, Would they take a look at? Would they take?
I don't
a
know
look
about
at,
tough. He can be. He'll be able to be moved around because he's so thin.
I know.
I don't know. I don't know that that equates to not.
Well,
being
you
tough.
Have you, anybody that's that kind of player. You got to. You would have to put Şengün on. So immediately you have to look at what the rest of that matchup would entail, because Şengün would have to guard all the bigs. And then you worry about, does he get in foul trouble, even though there's not a lot of true back to the basket. You know, I'm going to get 30 touches in the paint like Dream used to, 35 touches. But what happens, though, if Chet Holmgren is there at three? I know the Rockets put it out there that they were, you know, if they even take the third pick, they had it out there. And, you know, the scuttlebutt was they did that so that everyone in the league knew that there was that they had their eyes on a star player. The scuttlebutt is that the Rockets had their eyes on a star player, and they wanted to make sure that that team understood that the number three pick could be available to them for that star player, but nothing has materialized. I do wonder if Chet Holmgren is there, or Jabari, one of those two, depending on how they have him ranked, if the Rockets would be more inclined to potentially move out of that pick.
I don't know who
I don't
they,
think.
I don't know how they rank him. All we know is that they... All we've heard, the scuttlebutt is they love Paolo, and which is driving the price of Paolo up, to your point,
they
in
may
Vegas.
Have to, they may
because,
have, well,
because
they may
I
have
think,
to be
I think,
forced.
I think when you are publicly, when it becomes public that you have a desire for that guy, you drive up his value.
Well, Orlando's going to leak as much stuff as they can, because let's face it, the top three are clearly, you know, the best three. And so depending on how you have them ranked, you could be the one pick or the two pick and say, hey, let's get it out there as much as we can and try to extract the pick.
That said, Jaden Ivey might be the best player in this draft.
Well, we'll
Jaden Ivey, we'll see, because we've seen guards do this before. And you know what? He's probably going fourth or fifth. And he knows he's not going to Rockets, so he says, you know what? Who I want? I want some Jalen.
Well, I played Jalen Green in high school, obviously. Played against him when he was with Team Why Not on the AU. EYBL circuit. I haven't really been in contact with him, but, you know, just a great competitor, you know, someone that I look forward to playing in the NBA. And I have been in contact with the Rockets during this process when I was in Chicago.
Out in Chicago, the Rockets, that would be the biggest shocker ever for them to take Jaden Ivey, no?
Oh.
Yeah.
No chance.
No, I don't think so. I mean, what kind of odds do you get on Jaden Ivey going in the top three?
Jeez. I'll have to check. I mean, I can check it. It's available. It'd be a super long shot. But it is true, though. If a team knows you want somebody, I mean, look at how the Chicago Bears got gamed into Mitchell Trubisky by the San Francisco 49ers. They went from 3-2 because they were afraid that the 49ers were going to take a quarterback, which at the time seemed unlikely. And they ended up jumping up and giving up an extra pick. Now, people tried to trick the Rockets into... Well, there was talk about if the Rockets like Cade Cunningham. So that's... We didn't know what the Rockets were going to do at 2. We weren't sure if... There was talk about them moving to number 1 also all along the way last year. This year, if it's believed that the Rockets love Banchero, then you are going to have some teams leaking some stuff, because the Rockets have multiple first-round picks.
Yeah.
And they got a couple talented young players. And so... You know, would it hurt Orlando to say, you know what, we think these three guys are about the same. Let's just fall to 3. Let's go to 3, and whoever's there is there. We'll take whoever's there. If the Rockets want to trade up, let's go get KJ Martin, and let's go get next year's Nets pick let's go get that Nets pick, even if it's protected, and let's take the 17th off their hands. So all of a sudden you'd have 17, KJ, a future pick, and
then
you get
to
number 3. No, and you flip flop from 1 to 3. If you're Orlando, you could say, "We'll flip to 3. Who cares? We think these three guys are basically the same. Why wouldn't we take more picks and the potential to have?" Because I'm telling you, those Nets picks all of a sudden look kind of interesting.
Well, and you got a bunch of them. Listen, you got 2 picks every year now that are going to possibly be. Next year, they possibly could be both high picks. How many young guys do you need? I could certainly see the Rockets packaging up these picks. I got some insight into it. They were like at the very top of the organization saying, yeah, we need some veteran help here. Yeah. That's what we need.
No, they do.
They do. I mean, the picks are great. You ain't winning with all of with first and second year players.
That's why the rumor is they would have moved the third pick for not just a veteran, a star level player. Apparently, there's a star level player, and I don't know if it's Dame, I don't know if it's Donovan Mitchell, I don't know who it is, but apparently there is a star level player that some teams think or thought could potentially be had maybe with one of those top three picks, but that has not materialized. But it's just something to keep your eyes on. Just keep your eyes on that as we move closer to Thursday when the Rockets have the third pick and the 17th pick and the 26th pick, because, you know, the Rockets understand they can expedite the process of winning if they get an established star-level player. There's no way around it. And Tillman Fertitta, does that guy seem like a guy who wants this long five-year rebuild? No. I think Tillman would like it to be sped up if possible.
No, that's the guy that wants veteran help. Okay, I will tell you this. That's a guy that wants veterans in here. First of all, so he wants star power, and you're going to get it with, you know, when you're picking first and second and third, and hopefully you made the right choice with Jalen Green, and hopefully you make the right choice here with whoever it's going to be. And it's going to, you're going to start, and now you got a foundation of those two guys plus possibly, KPJ, possibly. We'll see. I think that's a movable object as well, but we'll see. They need to use these draft picks.
KPJ is a very volatile guy, but he's also highly rated and a very talented guy. Great hair.
Oh, he does
great hair
until he cut it. He cut his hair.
I know. It kind of gave me the blues.
No, well, also I know it actually was. I was able to distinguish between
me and Jalen.
And Jalen.
Yeah, sometimes depending on how Jalen wore his hair. My kids are all in on Jalen. I think Jalen's going to be a star
really
quickly.
He's going to be really
good. I think he's going to be a star. When you look at how his shooting progressed inside of year one, and you look historically at how shooting improves for young players, I think the Rockets are looking at a guy who could end up being a 39% three-point shooter, 38.5%, 39% three-point shooter, which is going to be more than good enough because off the bounce, a devastator.
Well, Jeff Weltman was asked for Orlando Magic's Jeff Weltman was asked about bringing Paolo in for a workout.
Hey, keep our guy's name out of your mouth.
So we'll hear from that in a little bit here on ESPN. We'll have that a little bit later in the show for you. Still ahead, Ryan Spader is going to join us at the bottom of the hour talking Major League Baseball with the guy from the Major League Baseball Network. We'll do that as well. That's at 8:30. Right now, though, I'm talking about GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. If you're looking for a great way to sell that car, John Clay Wolf is here for you. John Clay Wolf does this, and I heard other places talking about buying your car and whatnot. There's one place to go. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com and get the best price that you can for your vehicle. Go armed with what the GiveMeTheVIN.com tells you your car is worth. And then you go to the dealership and you say, whoa, listen, this is what it's worth, not that. Well, not what you want to give me. You give me more at GiveMeTheVIN.com. Now, you can go and negotiate as well. That initial price that you put in, you're going to send some pictures of your cars and whatnot, and you'll talk to a person and say, oh, no. Hey, GiveMeTheVIN.com. Give me more. Give me more for this vehicle. I'm getting – look what CarMax is offering me. And if GiveMeTheVIN.com can't match CarMax, which they do every time, otherwise they send you $100 – then GiveMeTheVIN.com will send you $100, but that doesn't happen. They will match. They will beat that price from CarMax. At GiveMeTheVIN.com. You're going to sell your car? GiveMeTheVIN.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Move your sound!
Real.
Let's go!
Fun. Sports.